Hello and welcome again to the Monkeyfish Podcast. As always, you're joined by myself, the Arrogant Apostle, and next to me is
the Specialist.
Specialist, how you been?
Yeah, it's been good actually. It's been quite a week actually.
Quite a week.
Yeah, I don't think anything.
Relatively to you or the world?
Oh, not the world. Oh no, it's there's dumpster fires everywhere.
Fuck the dumb shit, y'all. No, dumb shit is always.
But yes. So. Often, like I'm coming onto this cast and I'm constantly talking about negative shit about COVID, and it's not my fault.
I'm just reading
the tea leaves, right? That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk about a positive thing from going forward now. Okay.
Wait, you got a positive thing about?
I've got a positive thing about COVID. Right?
Do you mean one positive thing, or you're gonna be?
Oh no, I'm just
going
gonna mention.
Forward.
I'm just gonna mention a silver lining. That's all I'm going to
okay,
do.
So you have one silver lining.
Yeah, well, no, listen, I'm not tallying up as many positive. I'm not weighing them up like justice.
Who knows? You could just, like, from now on, it's not the specialist
put
anymore.
Put your heart and your feather there. Let's see
like,
whether you
like,
survive.
I like in Gods of America.
American
Gods.
American Gods. Anubis. What's his name?
It's so fucking funny, like when I die and go to hell and it's be you just there with Apostle, put your feather in your heart. Dickhead. What the fuck? I'd be so pissed off as well because you know me. And I'd be like, you know me. And you'd be like, feather in your heart.
You start blaming the scale. You say the scale's faulty.
I start calling my name like, specialist, specialist. You're like, why do you keep saying this name, stranger?
It's like, that fucking thing is rigged. It's rigged.
And the side just pulled me over like, Apostle, if you ruin this job for me, I'll fuck you up. I swear, I'll fuck you up. I've got a good gig going on here.
Is that weekly, hourly? Good hourly pay.
This is like fucking niggas.
No hassle. And I love disappointing people. Honestly.
Yes, that's fucking niggas.
Telling them they're going to hell is just amazing. I get commissioned for that, by the way.
Yeah, you do get
the less in heaven, apparently, it's better.
Half for free. You start doing an advert. You'd be like, this is sponsored by NordVPN. Because everything is sponsored by NordVPN.
Yeah, it is.
And SeatGeek.
I think you're trying to say the other one, but I don't want us to be done for copyright.
I'm not going to say it.
I want to hope that you're being intentionally saying it the wrong
this
way.
This is satire.
Yeah,
if you say satire,
it's fine. The court's come to
even if it's not satirical. It's
well, the courts couldn't find. They couldn't touch. What's her name? You know the Joe comedian, the one who's always on Mock the Week. She's quite like
the fat one, Joe.
Yeah.
Everything I said there was a fact. She is fat.
Her name's Joe Brand.
Yeah.
She said tonight. She said about Nigel Farage when at the time.
Farage.
The Farage and girl.
Yeah. Is that people with the last name Garage?
It's Garage. Farage. What's your name, mate? Nigel Farage. You mean Farage?
That sounds Asian. And Farage. That's why he started the that's why started the party.
Yeah, that's it.
Because he was calling him Farage and he's like, I'm not Asian.
Get rid of these migrants. Anyways, he this was a point.
You keep calling her he, she's a she.
No, I'm talking about Nigel.
Oh, Farage.
Yeah. the garage looking man. By the way, who looks like a toad. He looks like an actual frog. If you look at his face
and his chin,
it's just like it's fascinating to watch. Anyway.
His chin. Only his chin.
Yeah, so this is the point where people started throwing milkshakes on him.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Brand said...
this is UK politics, by the way.
This is YouTube. And Joe Brand, the comedian, said that if only they threw battery acid on him. Which, you know, at this time, people were actually throwing acid on people.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot was happening at that time. Mm. But it's like I was saying, the police wanted to investigate it, but because it was satire, because it was in the format of comedy, it was planned joke, it was satire, they couldn't touch it. It's like an opinion. It's like, however, if you misgender someone on a tweet, the police will come to your house.
Well, again,
that's crazy.
Well, we live in England, it's a nanny state, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what that means within the context of satire.
I feel like
you're the one of the people who's just been listening. You're listening to somebody who's just like, oh, well, it is what it is, isn't it? Well, it comes and goes around, doesn't it?
Right, anyway.
Anyways, what I'm saying about the silver lining, let me just cut right through. So,
tangent number one.
Yeah, so, coronavirus, has encouraged us to keep wearing masks. And as a consequence, it's killed the debate about the debate
of... Batman. Carry on.
about the Crimson Knight. It's killed that debate. But it's killed the debate about Muslim women wearing...
Hijabs
and face cover.
Oh, are you saying the Muslim women figure out the hijabs?
No,
because of Corona.
It's like resolved it, because before people were just like, oh yeah, but you can't have someone covering their face when they're in court. But people are doing that now, isn't it?
I feel like
we've just literally killed a racist trope.
I want to
as a result of people going, oh actually it's nothing really. We can still function. You know what I mean?
I want to say. What you're saying comes from a really good place, but sounds like it could be incredibly insensitive.
It's not.
Here's my point. What you're saying is that these women have been wearing the hijab, a burqa.
Yeah.
Headscarf, whatever you want to call it. For a long time, for religious purposes, for their religion.
Yeah, of course.
And they've been discriminated for it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you wear a face mask. Right? And then you're like, oh, I get it now. Here's my point. Let me land. Okay, here's my point.
Okay.
It's the equivalent of you being black all your life. Right?
Yeah.
Then a white person fucks off to Marbella in Spain, catches a tan, and goes like, hey, look, I understand what it's like being black now.
I see where you're coming from. And essentially, I am also inferring that entirely. Well, and you know,
that's what I said. You came from a good place.
I agree with it. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying, and I'm inferring that. Yeah. But I'm also saying, as a conclusion, that has killed the conversation dead.
No, because
it was a stupid conversation to start with. Because it was all about religious faith, and there was no problem.
Yeah.
And now what they wanted to do with the in oppressing women who wear a face covering was to. Basically say that there were legal expectations. There was society expectations.
Well, France, you know what France was saying?
They banned the burqa swimsuit as well when they did that. So now people are wearing face masks and we're operating with face masks in almost any context around us.
Mm-hmm.
It has removed that conversation Let it be known.
The British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, called them letterboxes.
He did.
He called women who wore burqas, hijabs, and any kind of head covering letterboxes.
He did. And that's how bad the Islamophobia was. So that conversation is now dead.
And he called them ninjas as well.
So as a result of coronavirus, we saw some kind of racism.
With another kind of racism. So fire fought fire and won.
Exactly. Eye for an eye, bitches.
Sometimes we don't need to see shit. The world can be blind. It's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
So I'm glad you solved that.
How are you been?
You know what? It's been alright. I was appreciating. This is what I was appreciating today.
Yeah.
Today. Having a job.
Oh, yeah. By the way.
No, not that. Let's not do that.
Oh, no, you don't want to do that. I don't want to go there.
No, but I'm saying, like, I was sat at work and I was doing my shift, right? And I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to link up with you today. So I'm thinking about that, right?
And then my other friend,
I only have two friends. My other friend messaged me, and obviously he's back from.
Yeah, the only choice I have.
Yeah. If you go, I go, no. I just have to draw a face on a football, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. You've got a whole party.
You got a gathering. Police will stop me, by the way. Yeah. There's too many people in one house during COVID. So my other friend messaged me because he just come from France and he's working an agency. And he was telling me about his weekly pay. And then I just sat there, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I got a job in COVID.
Yeah.
First of all, that hit me.
Then I was like,
and then my boss was like, oh yeah, we want to put you in a training course to move you up. And I was like, oh shit, I'm winning in COVID. And then I was like, how great is
by
it?
By winning!
Like, how great is it? Like if you're not working in COVID, obviously, like, condolences is awful.
But
obviously, like, for a while, when I came back from another country and I was here, I was just fucking around for a bit and it really just, I was just like not working. So now just to be like...
Has it just hit you that what's been happening?
No, because like, do you know when like, you know, when you know it ends, you can enjoy the time you're not working? But when it feels like it's forever, then the time you're not working is torture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know that.
So like, because I knew that I was going to start working again, I knew how things to get excited. I just had to get through the day, but I could count down the days. So just to be like, getting up at work again, you know, putting an actual...
Yeah, graph, right?
Work trousers, putting on those smart shoes, putting on that thing, putting on your work badge, and then wearing like a trench coat, walking somewhere, and suddenly your head just raises a little bit higher, and you're like,
because you're on purpose, and you're important, and you're needed somewhere. Yeah. A colleague of mine once, he said this to me, and it's such a simple thing, but it sounded like profound inside, it's similar to what you're saying, and he was like, where we worked, we dress casual most of the time. So when he came into work, it's like, you know what I didn't realize? You know, I just had this moment that as soon as I put my lanyard or my name tag on, that's the only time I'm in the mentality of work. Like, I know I gotta go somewhere, I gotta do shit, I gotta do
that. That's when you change from being you at home to being a professional.
And the tough thing about working from home is that there's no transition within that. There must be someone out there who's working in a full-on suit. everything. Someone out here is just working because they still need that transition to happen.
To be fair, I'll tell you this, right? I've worked in different companies, different organizations within my career, my field of work anyway. Yeah. And in that time, I've had to wear shirt and tie. I've had to wear casual clothes sometimes. And sometimes I've got to wear like a polo with the company's logo, one I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
And which looks spiffy. It looks nice, doesn't it? It's nice shit to wear. And
I can't believe you've asked me to compliment
you. No, I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying it's spiffy. Spiffy isn't even great. Spiffy just okay.
Are you listening to this insolence?
Anyway, point being, like...
Oh yeah, it's super spiffy, man. It's super spiffy. Hey, we should go to the cola shop and get some more frappuccinos.
I've never drunk a frappuccino in my life.
I have never drunk a frappuccino either.
You look like the kind of person who drinks a frappuccino.
Do I?
I don't know what a frappuccino is.
Because I'm black.
I'm not sure what a frappuccino is. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not. That just sounds like...
Frappuccino.
I don't want to know.
I don't know.
Right, anyway, the point of what I was saying is like, the clothes maketh the person sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
It does.
You know, sometimes you wear clothes and let's give you that sense of value. Yeah. Having a reason to wake up in the morning, whether you don't want to wake up or not, gives value
to your life.
To your life, it gives value to your free time.
Yeah.
When you have a free time that's unencumbered all the time, it becomes worthless.
Yeah, it does.
But when free time is fleeting, you value every moment of it.
Yeah.
You value doing nothing.
Yeah.
You have those values. So.
I'm like part-time furlowed at the moment. So
you are still employed.
I'm still employed.
So you still have that thing inside.
But like what I'm trying to say is that I've got 7 days of annual leave, and I'm just like, I'm not gonna use them because at the moment,
just the eternal annual leave.
Yeah, I'm in eternal annual leave because I've just got so much free time to do it. And it's like, actually, you know, interestingly, they say Corona is supposed to bring us more together. Actually, brought me more. Closer to appreciating work,
that's what I'm saying.
I think the thing is
when you like, I don't want to sound like an arsehole about this because like it sounds like a rubbing someone's face, but when you like working, am I saying this because I'm African or just like enjoying my job? I can't tell anymore. But when you like working, because when I go to work, I don't take breaks, I don't take time off, I just eat food.
I take a long time to take time off.
Even when I'm eating my food, I'm still working.
Yeah.
And then when I finish work, I switch off from work and I don't.
I'm done. You leave it there. Yeah.
But when I'm at work, don't come in. It's not my life. It's what I'm doing. I'm here to work. You know what I mean? That kind of shit. So I'm really appreciative.
I think everyone feels the same. I think we've all had a gratuitous amount of free time.
Yeah.
I think we now understand that actually if you win the lottery... And have all that free time.
I still find a job.
You're supposed to just keep your mind active.
Just have a purpose.
Have a reason to wake up in the morning.
But again, you know what I come down to? It's like, you do want to have a job, but what you mean is that you want to have a multifaceted job. You do not want to have a
repetitive and monotonous job. Because you never grow. You have to sort of expand your skills.
You need the differentiation.
But even then, if you do, because some people, some of us can
people do enjoy it.
Yeah, can love having their job as it is, and they don't want to pick up another job. But you like something that I've done recently is pick up a hobby, and that's going to a fight club gym. Well, not a fight club gym, not actual fight club.
Muay Thai.
Like Brad Pitt's not there. All right.
Just say Muay Thai.
Muay Thai, Muay Thai.
Oh, like, do you know what's so funny?
Yeah, right. Just
because in England, you can mix Muay Thai and kickboxing.
Yeah.
Say that shit in Thailand. See what the fuck that happens. Yeah. Like, I want to do kickboxing. Muay Thai!
Yeah, I know. That's the first thing I asked the guy when I was trying to sign up when I started it. And I was like, oh, so you guys do kickboxing? And he was just like, no, it's just Muay Thai.
Muay Thai. You know what? Anyway, so let's get to the story.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about today.
It's hard, you know. It's a hard subject. Like, you know what it is? I'm not kind of person that gets caught up in kind of like emotional shit. You know what I mean? But this one hit me hard, and I feel like it still hasn't hit me yet, and I've been fighting it. I'm avoiding it. That's what. Yeah, I'm actively avoiding this topic.
Do you have gonorrhea?
I wish you didn't tell the audience like this.
I just feel like you're being emotional right now. And any time a man is being emotional about this and he's running away from his own fears, he has gonorrhea.
Truer words have never been said. Truer words have never been said. If a man is running away from shit, it's gonorrhea or unwanted pregnancy.
Yeah, unwanted pregnancy.
Unwanted pregnancy. What else
could be possibly happening?
Unfortunately, it's neither. I wish it was one of those two. Yeah. I'd rather have one of those two than what's happened now.
Right.
Our nigga Chadwick's gone, man.
Chadwick. Chadwick is.
Do you know? I can't think of a film, one film he did that I did not love. Well, let's put Message for the King to the side, but like, I can't think of a film.
It's okay though, man. It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's that he did this T'Challa accent.
Yeah, he did
it right after Black Panther.
And that's our thing. That's our problem. Yeah, that's not the film. Because
the baseball film was amazing.
Yeah.
The lawyer one with the southern lawyer.
Yeah. And did you watch the one with James Brown? When he plays James Brown, not the one with James Brown.
No, get out. When I found out the news, I was gonna watch that. But then I thought, I don't want to think about it because I don't want to accept it. Because you know what? Like, remember when I was talking about the new big three?
Yeah.
And I said the new big three of our generation was going to be Chadwick, John Boyega, black actors.
You're talking about, what's his name? He was a Creed character. What's his name?
Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, I was like, that's the new big three of this generation. They're going to be the Denzel, Will Smith, and
Jamie Foxx.
And I just think, like, why? Bro. You know what it is? Because it's like, his career, his act, as you know, okay, so like, obviously the audience doesn't know that. Me and the specialist, qualifications, our trainings, our education is around acting, right? So we've all like performed at some point. So we do have an appreciation for the art of the performance in itself. So my appreciation for him was always his characterization, is how he threw himself into a role and how he adapted and grew with that role.
He's very
good. That's the thing, because I'm not looking at the film or the script, I'm looking at what he did
as an actor. His African accent is dope, man. It's really dope. Like he's the only African accent that I've heard from an American where it didn't make me want to like just claw my eyes out. Like, it's like, and we don't sound like this.
And also, it's like, about,
he's dope, man. He's
what he brought to all his different roles.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah. He was authentic. Did you know that Denzel Washington paid for his scholarship or something like that?
He paid it forward. It's sad.
How crazy is it that no one knew he was dying from cancer? Like, how interesting is that about a person's character that he kept working? We've been talking about the joy of working, right? There it is. This man just kept working. Despite the fact that he was dying, he was just like, I gotta put films out.
He loved what he did.
He loved what he did. He's a pure actor. He's a purist. amazing stuff.
And I really felt like he gave everything to his roles. Mm. Like, I can't think of a role where he phoned it in. Even if the film wasn't big, I just never felt like he phoned it in. And you got to remember, he blew up what, in his 40s, in his late 30s. Yeah, yeah, so that means he was grinding.
From day one. From day one. Probably in his 30s, 20s.
His 20s, he was still, he was true to the form. He was true to the art.
And he's just been shut down.
But he's resilient.
Given a chance, shut down, given a chance. He's, you know what, I have this thing with actors where I differentiate them. Like, they are actors and they are thespians. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Denzel Washington's a thespian. I mean, it's just, but they mean the same fucking thing.
Yeah, no, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. They're just, there's a difference in...
Like,
in,
you're saying, for example, we'll say, like, Denzel Washington is a thespian,
yeah,
but Ashton Kutcher or Jamie Reynolds, Ryan Reynolds
are actors. Yeah. They're actors, right? Yeah. Who's another one? The British guy who was in...
John Boyega. Daniel
Day-Lewis. That's another one. He's a thespian.
I would say John Boyega, because you know when you watch his roles and you watch the differentiation in his characters. For example, Attack the Block, he did his London boy thing.
Yeah.
And then you watched the one about the riots. Is it Detroit?
That's a great film.
And in that, he has like a strong Detroit characterization, and he falls into the role and things like that.
Well, to be honest, you know, the thing is,
I just want to side note, the thing that really annoyed me, especially because I really appreciated his Chadwick Boseman's African accent in Black Panther. I really appreciated because it was juxtaposed.
Sorry, I thought we were still talking about John, but
it was juxtaposed by Daniel Kaluuya, who's African, terrible African accent.
Yeah. But he's like proper East Londoner, isn't he?
Yeah, but like he has a terrible African accent for an African person. Like, it's like he's never spoken to his mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he literally, you can tell, he came here when he was super, super young. He sounds like me and you. Like, me and you are going to sound like him in about 10 more years.
But here's the thing.
But he's been here way longer.
I've been in this country since I was 7.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, but you still don't sound... You don't sound African.
When I'm speaking to you right now. But if I'm speaking
to
my mom,
of course. Oh, so you... Well, you don't know that.
Where he could bring his African accent out.
You're not a fly on the wall in his house watching him talk to his mom. You don't know when he flips in and out of it.
That's fine. But I'm saying, in the one film where he had to do an African accent, he couldn't do it.
But you know what? You know, I've heard people... I've heard people... The friends that I have left... Because that's life now.
In your 30s, you have friends left.
Yeah, but you have friends left. You don't have friends.
You can't keep them all. Numbers.
The friends that I have left have always said, and they've known me for a long time, anytime I try to do the African accent, I don't sound African.
Like, really?
But when I'm talking to my family, then they hear it.
Yeah.
But if I'm trying to do like a mock African accent, I don't sound African. So there's this kind of thing. You're making an exaggerated impression of it. You know what I mean?
But I want to say that usually when the specialist is doing an African accent, he's mocking the Nigerians.
Yeah.
And he's not Nigerian.
But I don't know how to do the Nigerians African.
Anyway,
about that, Mbaku.
Mbaku.
Adudeo. It's such a crazy film.
Do you know? Okay, anyways, that's a side note. But anyway, coming back to Chadwick, you know, I remember...
such a great
note. I remember watching 42. And I remember watching 4-2-2. That's the one he did about Jackie Robinson, the baseball player.
I haven't watched that one.
And it just it's so well. It's just it's so like, do you know what it is? He does biopics very well.
Yeah, they're saying that someone said to him, it's just like, if any historical black figure you cast Chadwick to play it. That's quite interesting to have a reputation like that.
I would say that now. More so than I would even say about Denzel. I would pick Chadwick over Denzel. Just because, like, after watching them all, the most of them, I was just like, believe him.
But you see, Denzel, and I'm glad you mentioned this, because I hope people see the differences in the type of actor and style.
Performance.
So when you talk about Chadwick... Chadwick is a Philip Seymour Hoffman. Mm. He's a character actor. Mm. You know what I mean? When you talk about Denzel, Denzel's like Leonardo DiCaprio. He's like Jack Black. He's like The Rock. He's like, they're just their actor personalities, yeah. You know what I mean?
They act a personality, yeah, but they
take a role,
yeah,
and they absorb the role, and the role becomes them. Yeah. So it's just like, but it's watching Denzel be Denzel playing this person. That's so he's so you wouldn't put Denzel
but that's what I'm
in
saying.
A film like where you want a character actor.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, Denzel acts a character.
Yeah, he embellishes a character.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's still Denzel acting that character.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying with Chadwick is that he adopted.
Yeah, adopted a character. Yeah, he's a character actor. But it's a genuine style of.
One's not better than the other. It's just one is different.
Different lanes.
One's just different from the other.
Yeah.
I'm saying though, but as a critic, when I'm watching it, I'm saying like, oh, I can see what he's done and what he's done. Stands on a different level.
And he could have gone far, man. He could have gone far. He was making blockbusters.
Not far, he was going far. Yeah, he was going to go far. He was going the distance.
Yeah, he was going the distance. He could have... he was in Spike Lee's recent film that was put on Netflix, the Five Bloods as well. And he was dead thin. Remember, I told you a couple of months ago, I was like, have you seen Chadwick? And I was like, hey, this man is... Because in Black Panther, he was hench.
Yeah.
He was healthy. You looked at him and you were just like, yeah, I believe you. You're a superhero. Like, and his body was just perfectly symmetrical and muscle.
Yeah.
And then you just get thinner and thinner. And people were rumouring that something's wrong. But because actors, like, they do these drastic weight losses for roles, everyone presumed that. There's recent news that come out. They're saying that Chadwick's mother inspired him. I don't know why they use the word inspired because it makes no sense. But Chadwick's mother inspired him to not reveal his cancer diagnosis. Mm. But you can't inspire someone. You advise them. So that whole sentence is just irritating.
But you know what? It also brings back the story about... Remember when Charlie Murphy died?
Yeah.
And he died from cancer as well.
Yeah,
and nobody knew he was sick.
No one knew. Jay Dilla went through.
And then, like, it was like 2 weeks before he died, he wrote the episode of Power had came out, and he was doing like a great performance in Power. And everyone's talking about how great he is, and the next thing you know, the guy's dead, and you're like.
But that's important. That's important. If anything, that's a lesson to all the other celebrities is that remember, we don't understand what you're going through. So just present what you are, as an art form, and just leave us there. If you keep telling us about your life all the fucking time, we're in it. We're just in it and we're playing with it.
Okay, I'm going to stop here because it sounds like what you're saying is that you don't want to know that you're sick.
No, it's not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's not for me to know that he was sick. What the decision he made was a personal decision and Denzel is famously private. You know what I mean? The only thing I know about Denzel is a born-again Christian. Do you know anything else? I didn't even know he had kids. My sister didn't know he had kids.
How would you not know that a man has kids?
No, but like, I don't... The kids didn't grow up...
Tangent.
You know, anyway. No, but do you understand what I'm saying? The kids didn't grow up in the media. I wasn't so into his private life that I knew this and I knew that. I think in so many ways, what he did was... This is my struggle, but I'm going to keep working because I want you to see me... In what I choose to see me in, which is
he wanted to go strong.
But if he came out with a cancer diagnosis, then he would have a sort of swim of support that makes him a victim.
Oh, okay,
so you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So too. And that's only because he revealed his private life. So it was important for him to protect.
So you're saying he went out strong, basically.
Yeah, he went out strong, but most importantly, it was none of our business. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's no business he to just know kept if working. He didn't want us to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I respect that. It's just, I think it's just sad because you were looking, do you know when you're looking forward to someone's life?
Yeah.
And it was that thing where it's like, we're all looking forward to what he does next.
It's a tragic part.
Because you just felt like whatever he did next was going to be interesting.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything that's not like gripping you. Do you know what I mean? And it's just that shame at the moment because then you're like, everything that was attached to him as it continues is kind of tainted because it's like when you watch the next Black Panther film, right? And if they cast someone else, you're looking at them like, but you're not
actually no, I disagree, and you will agree with me. Why I disagree?
I think I know where you're going. Yeah, I think I know where you're going. Are you going? Wait, Are you going to Spartacus?
Yeah, I am going to Spartacus. Okay. I am going to Spartacus. Because we all went through that. As fans of Spartacus, we all went through that. Because that guy was brilliant.
Andy Wakefield.
Is that the first Spartacus?
Yeah.
He was so good. And I was just like, they can't do no one else.
Yeah.
And the other guy took it to another level. In memory of him. And he even gave it his own style. Because he did more of the speeches. Like, the other guy was just a tough man.
Mm.
But he was like, he had those great speeches during the episodes, and it just kept you entranced, and you're just like, I can't believe you're doing this so well. So yeah, there is a possibility. I don't think Chadwick left a bad legacy, so it would allow us to move on.
But no, that's what I'm saying, because like, he's left such a high bar.
Yeah, he set a bar, didn't he?
He set a high bar. So whoever steps into that role now has to.
But they are stepping into that role because John Boyega, because fucking.
No, but what I'm saying is that, listen.
Michael J. Brown. They are stepping into that
role. Michael J. Brown?
What's his name again?
Sterling K. Brown.
No. Creed.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. I don't know why
I got Michael J. Brown. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I don't think Michael B. Jordan's a thespian. I think he's an actor.
Nah, have you watched Creed?
I watched Creed. He's not playing. But he's playing a fictional character, so he's still.
And also, his portrayal of Killmonger was absolutely exceptional.
But that was still Michael B. Jordan. That's fine. But that character was still Michael B. Jordan playing Killmonger. He didn't bring.
Okay. Yeah. That, I see. You know what I mean?
And then if you look at like Fantastic Four, he didn't bring. Yeah, he didn't do that.
Yeah, it was still him.
And in Creed, it's still him playing that character.
So he's a personality.
Yeah, so what I mean. Yeah. Whereas like each role with Chadwick Boseman, he changed something about himself. He wasn't Chadwick Boseman, you know. When he did Black Panther, he had the accent, he had that. When he did the lawyer, I think it's like Thurston or Thurgood, I'm not sure if you know. But like, again, he changes his speech pattern, changes his mannerism, changes character. Yeah. He goes into it.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan is not losing weight to play a character.
No, he has to stay in that physique. That's where they're going to cast him for
exactly.
Most of it.
He's large casting.
Yeah, but he could be an action hero soon, isn't it?
But then if he'd be an
action hero, it just opens up a lot more fields for him.
But
too.
You wouldn't imagine
but
him.
But it, like, the question is, what would you rather be? Be an indie actor, or do you want to be a blockbuster actor where Tron is going to make you the most money? So,
again, what we're talking about is different lanes, so that's not
compare. Yeah, that's not compare.
Yeah, different lanes.
And anyways, he was a blockbuster as a Chadwick, so.
Yeah, it was that.
He was an incredible actor.
Man,
dude, I felt the same when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, man. Oh my god, Philip Seymour Hoffman was just on another level. Along came Polly,
here's my question to you. How long had Seymour Hoffman's career expanded, blown up? How long had it blown up
before? Well, he had a heroin addiction.
No, but how long had his career gone before he died?
I don't know how old he was.
Because of Chadwick Boseman, if you look at it.
Yeah, he would have made.
It's a very short time he was at the top.
He's young. He's super young.
Chadwick Boseman was 42. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but he's young still.
That's what I'm saying. He died young, and his time at the top was very limited. Yeah. Like, he didn't have. And that's the shame in it. Because the potential that was there never went his full swing.
But the question is, did it not? Maybe. Okay, yeah. There was more potential in terms of him becoming almost like a synonymous, just like Denzel and Leonardo.
Mm.
That potential, or even better example is, who's that? He does all the films with Scorsese. Robert De Niro. Like, he had that potential to go that far.
Mm.
But actually, he didn't meet his potential because we're all talking about it.
But
we all felt that loss, you know what I mean?
But that's not his potential. That's just where he was now. That's the way he's working at. Is he could have gone higher?
Yeah, he could have gone higher. So, no, I'm saying that there wasn't available. You know, actually, we're agreeing. let's move on to the next thing.
Right. So the next thing is the thing. I think you've been really. I talked about this film to you, and it feels weird just moving away from Chadwick like this. Again, we have to move on.
We've mourned. The most important thing is Black Panther, that film, when it was released, it was amazing. Everyone was just living
I think the success of Black Panther allowed Get Out to be what it was.
Yeah, like it was just a success. It was a success. I was gonna say Succession, and then I bailed out.
Yeah.
But I've never seen black people congregate like that if it wasn't a civil rights movement.
I've never seen white people congregate over black shit like that. But it's a gift and a curse. The amount of white people have done the Wakanda Forever sign to me.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We all came together and we all agreed it was a great film.
He gave black people such a joy.
Yeah, man.
When we really needed it.
I saw black people in fucking outfits like Wakanda Forever.
My mom knows that film, and she's that old African woman. What the fuck? Like, she knows that film.
He gave us a moment we will always share together. He gave us the "Where were you when you watched Black Panther?" Yeah. He gave us that.
And if you weren't in a cinema, something's wrong.
Yeah, you know what I mean? My sister and her husband dressed up for Black Panther. They had all the African attire and shit. Remember, people were dressing up for that shit? It was a moment.
I remember seeing a video of girls in Russia doing the Wakanda Forever dance.
Dude, in South Africa, they were making Wakanda dances and all kinds of shit. It was
a moment.
He was part of that. He gave us that.
And do you know what it is? Say what you want. He did something for black people. Yeah. That's big. Like
progress.
That's my thing.
I'll explain myself why it's progress, right? I'm a big Marvel fan. I've been following the Marvel Cinematic Universe since Iron Man 1. Since then, Marvel has been very successful, but no one has been exposed to a full-on black superhero and a black film. We've been exposed to Steel. Remember Steel with basketball player? It was Shaquille O'Neal. We were exposed to that. It was terrible. Actually, we had Blade, and we were like, we could do this. We could do this.
Side note. Blade saved Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. So from Blade, we've been waiting so long for another Blade, because we've had so many shit ones in the middle. And then
Wait. Would you say Hancock was a shit one?
Oh no, Hancock was good, but I wouldn't class it in the superhero. I mean, it's like anti-hero genre, but I wouldn't class it in the conventional superhero.
You mean the modern superhero? Yeah, yeah.
It was a massive jump from Blade to Black Panther, which was altogether everyone. Some people were like, "Oh, it's just not superheroes." Some, but most of the whole world agreed that it was a good film. You know what I mean? Even the Chinese, they were doing reports on the Chinese. The Chinese were just like, they're barely exposed to our culture. But they were just like, yeah, that's cool. And he was part of that. That's progress. That's progress, mate.
Okay. I feel your passion.
Yeah.
You need to bridle that passion.
No.
Listen. Here's why. Because you just said some really wild shit and you don't even realize. Okay. You equated the success of Black Panther.
Yeah.
A film that made over $1 billion.
Uh-huh.
That went to Marvel.
Uh-huh.
A company that's not black. Right?
Uh-huh.
You've equated it to progress.
Yeah.
Despite that film not leading to any legislative change. It didn't build any black schools. It didn't... Did Wakanda open black schools?
Oh, no. You're misconstruing
me. No, here's my point. Because when we talk about progress, we're talking about actual
progress. I'm talking about in arts.
Okay, not for black people.
No, it's still for black people because there's black people in arts.
Wait. Are you saying Black Panther is the best black thing that's happened in art?
Music, no, of course not. Firstly, progress doesn't say that what you're talking about is the best thing that's been out. Progress suggests that what has happened before, which was good, is carrying on. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, by that logic, by that logic, me saying, like, I love black people. It's still progress. No, I mean, no. It's not meaningful progress.
Well,
it's progress.
At least you love them. There's some crazy people out here.
No, but I'm saying, like, you're talking about random progress, random spells of progress. Progress is always going to be going
forward.
No,
but I'm saying that for the arts. For the arts. You think about it.
Okay.
No, think about it. Black Panther. Black Panther 1 is a super... Wait, let me finish.
I'm willing to accept what you're saying. If you're willing to agree... That you're talking about progress in art and not progress for black people.
I just told you. That's what I was talking
and not
about.
Probably, not
you're the one who conflated it with politics. I didn't bring it up.
Clarity. Clarity is everything. Yeah. Clarity is also a great African name.
I think I know a Clarity.
Do you know
that? I do. I actually do. That's mad. All right. Anyways, what we were talking about.
Right, so, sorry to end on Chadwick. I hate saying this, but time to move on to the next story. So, you've been talking about this film. It came out recently, obviously. It's got the young John David Washington, Tenet.
Ooh, Dynasty!
So, you watched it. So, before you start talking about it, we'll just say there's a bunch of spoiler warnings. So, if you don't want to get spoilers,
I need to get my zone and just remember, because this is a very confusing film.
Specialist, can you explain what the film is about?
Alright, so Tenet is a film about a guy who starts off in some kind of raid where they have to save someone. He gets out. And he thinks his team is getting out. And then he's caught by the people that were part of the raid. He on the train tracks, he's about to die. And somehow they save him. He's CIA, you find out. So as a CIA agent, John David Washington, who's just badass, Bond-type CIA agent, is recruited to fight a war, not in the present, but in the future. So in the future... they have discovered a form of time travel, but it's not time travel like Back to the Future, or it's not linear time travel. It's not like they build a machine or Terminator. It's not time travel. They build a machine and then it takes you back to the past and then you start fucking up shit. It's time travel where you can weaponize it and you can take a glass, for example, and... if you move the glass forward, you then invert the glass with this technology and the glass will move in reverse. So he learns in like the first 20 minutes about this, that they know they have this equipment in the past that is built in the future to fight, which is the World War III. Everything's fucked up in the future. So it's World War III and this is the kind of technology they're using. They learn that they've sent this technology back from the future to the past, and now that technology is being distributed through arms deals, the ratchet shit. So they need to find out who the first guy who got this technology out there and the world went to pieces. They need to find out how to get to him and kill him or do something or stop him from the past. So he's recruited to fight a war that hasn't happened yet. Now, in the film is like big budget. It's definitely a film for the cinema. You would do yourself a disservice if you watched this on a laptop, because you need the soundscape. It's a soundscape film. You know Nolan films, they're all like that. Interstellar, all the Batman, it's all soundscape stuff. So it's a great film for action. And watching all the stuff go in reverse is done really well, but sometimes you kind of feel like, are they just reversing the scene, with a remote? Yeah. Are they just pressing in reverse? But it's good. That's good sci-fi, right? And then the film blows up into this confusion where you're just like, I don't even know how this works. Because you start to see moments, like a scene that's traveling chronologically, and then another scene that's similar traveling in reverse. So when there's a high speed chase, and they're going and they're chasing this guy, and there's a car that's already flipped over, and it's in the trailer, the scene. So in that time, you now understand that weapons can be, what do you call it?
Inverted.
Inverted, right? This car just starts reversing itself and starts like fixing all the cracks and shit and just moving. You're sitting there and you're just like, okay, this is awesome, but what the fuck? Well, how did we get here? Because the problem with the film, and this is like they're talking about it now. I was reading an article about it. The problem with the film is Nolan's problem. Even in the Dark Knight films, even in Interstellar, he's sounding problems. Like, there's too much... And then you can't barely hear the line sometimes. Mm. And things are just not... They just pack too much together. So when they're talking about shit, to explain what this introversion thing... How it works and what you should expect in the next scene... You miss lines. So now you're trying to guess why this thing is going in reverse.
Maybe they don't have it.
So it gets even weirder. Now they can enter into another world that's operating totally in reverse, like a mirror. Now you're in the third act of the film, and like you will see characters, like even the voices. The character's got a gun on this lady, and he's shouting shit to this guy, and the guy is being held by his goons, right? But this lady is someone that he's now had created a relationship with throughout the film. And this guy's wife, by the way. So when he shouts things out, the voices are backwards, but then there's an echo of what he's saying at the same time. Now you're confused. You're just like, wait, what are you saying?
Because they need you to know what he said, obviously.
Yeah, no, they need you to know what he said. But how does it work? How does this time backwards shit work? What? And then that you realize that there's two worlds operating at the same time in this massive battlefield, which is so confusing because there are some events that are happening in chronological time and the same events are still happening in reverse all together. So you got all these people just shooting each other, but some of them are shooting backwards. It's insane. It's insane. At that point, you don't know. You're losing even track of the science of the film. Like, you're just like, wait. There are some scenes that are cut so quickly that it's the same character driving forward, but then they cut it and he's driving backwards and he's passing himself. And it's like, what? So it's so confusing. You'd have to watch it at least 3-4 times before you can understand. Without any help from YouTube, you'd have to watch it 3-4 times before you can actually make sense of who's traveling here and who's traveling there. I've watched time travel films like that before. There's a film I would recommend called Primer. And Primer is exactly like that. You will never understand it the first time. But second time, you start to understand which characters in the past and which characters in the future. And then the third time, maybe you might start to understand the science of the film.
Okay.
It's so layered that it's entertaining, but it's far too confusing.
Okay, I'm going to give you a scale, and I need you to scale it for me. You have Inception, and then the other side of the scale, you have Cloud Atlas.
Right.
What level of confusion would you put it?
Inception in the third act, when they start saying, well, what about a dream within a dream and in a dream? And at that moment, then you just, like... trying to figure, you're just making your own sense of the film. Yeah.
So you put it close to Inception and
Yeah. It goes a little bit further than Inception. It's very, like the logistics of it. If you watched it, right, and I know how you think about films. Yeah, I can sit and just enjoy film, like totally and just enjoy every bit, how hard they've worked on it, right? Mm. But I think you would also... But you like to question the logic of the film. This film will frustrate you. And I think it's too hard for people who are trying to just go to the cinema and entertain themselves.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? With not everyone...
So give it a 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. I would give it a 7.
7?
Yeah, I'd give it a 7. He needs to fix the sound quality of it. It's an extraordinary film. It really is. It's an extraordinary film. But it's far too complicated, man. It's just... It's like everything is going in reverse and forward, but they're not, because you can't hear the lines.
Mm-hmm. You don't know.
You can't follow it properly. If I could hear the lines, I'd use my own logic and I'd be like, oh yeah, I've watched Doctor Who.
Here's my next question. Here's the next question to you. So, he's done a dream within a dream.
Mm-hmm.
He's done all these other things. Now he's fucking with time. What is the only frontier left for Nolan?
Ah, there's always space. He hasn't touched space.
Interstellar.
Oh, yeah, that was dope.
That doesn't make sense either, but okay.
Has he done a serious drama? He hasn't really
Of like, because he's clearly going for the fuck up. Fucked up super trippy shit.
Oh, like.
So what's the last trippy subject he can touch? Consciousness.
Maybe.
That's the only thing he hasn't touched.
Because he's very like spiritual orientated and
he's done to some sort
of what's out there. He's very that, adventurous.
He seems like the kind of guy who's still doing PCP.
I could You know his brother does the Westworld as well, isn't it? Jonathan.
I'll be honest with you. I've never watched Westworld and I never will. I have no interest.
You should, it's a great show.
I have no interest.
Alright then.
I just don't care for it.
No, I think, I don't know, maybe, you know what, I need to watch it again, and I think I will love it the second time. Once, it was so much information to take in.
Sounds like you're trying to make yourself love it.
No, I feel like I don't think it's a shit film. I don't think, maybe a 7 was a bit unfair.
Do you think it's a great idea?
I would say comfortably it's an 8 or a 9, comfortably there, I don't know. But it's great. You're not going to regret buying that cinema ticket. You're not going to go there and going to be like, walk away and going to be like, fuck, I spent £10.50 on this. Like,
Is that how much it costs?
Yeah, it's almost, yeah. You know, you can get like £15 passes. You know, I don't have it, but I'm going to buy it.
You know, Putlocker's free.
No.
Don't go to Seven. No, we don't.
You know when I watched Avatar, man, I regret watching that shit on my laptop.
Oh, the James Cameron.
I regret streaming that. That is a film.
Tangent.
To go into this cinema.
This is a tangent.
No, but I'm
anyway, let's get back to Tenet. Yeah. So, does he have a love interest in it?
Well, is she? I don't know. Yeah, kind of. But she's desperate. So, no, that's actually a thing. Okay, so the guy I told you about when you see two worlds sort of reversing and going forward at the same time.
Yeah.
The guy is putting the gun to the woman. The woman is his wife. His wife and him fell out, and because she was trying to escape him, and he's a super rich because he's an arms dealer.
Yeah.
So she's desperate. They meet and he's a bond type.
I'm saying there's Tenet's character. There's Washington's character, everyone.
No, that's the girl. That's his romantic link.
Someone's wife.
Yeah, but it's kind of like hinted at, but they never really follow through.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more like he's trying to get her out of this situation because he's a noble man.
He's trying to save the whole.
Yeah, yeah. At the same time, win World War III, man. He's a hero. Hero. He won World War III in it. So I'm just saying that we just need to respect that this man has changed the art form. That he's changed the direction of the art form.
That's true. And do you know what's also changing the direction? NordVPN. Oh my God, I'm not advertising.
It's sneaky, isn't it? They just literally slip it in there. And they're getting real clever with it. They just keep sneaking it in there. You're like... And you think, I watched one where it was the person I was watching.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, they just moved to the next room and they're just saying it. They're saying it like this. And I'm just like, are you serious? Are you serious right now?
You know what's so sad about that? Is that as soon as we get sponsors, that's exactly what we're going to do.
It's indignant.
Yeah. Anyway, right, before we shut down today, I just want to say that we've been getting a lot of plays in the Monkey Face podcast, but nobody's subscribing. Subscribing! So... get subscribing, man. Check our shit out. Just weekly, innit? We release on Sundays, innit? Yeah. You want to do that? For your mum's sake. For your nan's sake. Jesus Christ, even your dog's telling
you. What do you say about my mum?
Just subscribe. Look at your dog. That's what it's saying. Subscribe, innit?
What do you say about my dog?
Your dog's a bitch. No, because it's a girl dog. I'm not misogynistic.
You're right.
Monkey fish out.